You may be seated. Well, we have been in the book, the letter of 1 Peter, and I slowly went through it just about a verse at a time, verses 3 through 9, which are one long sentence in the Greek. And today we come to 10 through 12, which is a sort of a, he kind of stops and in some ways summarizes, makes some comments before he then is going to move forward with some application and some words for how we ought to act now based on our salvation in Christ. But this letter, Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote it to congregations just out amongst what's called the dispersion, the Jews and Gentiles among them who had been dispersed from the exile. He reminds them that he reminds them of the Trinity, that they were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. They're sanctified by the Spirit, and they're to be obedient to Christ. For the sake of context, I'm going to read 3 through 12, but then the sermon will be from 10 through 12. This is God's Word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause. He was writing this to a group of people suffering for their faith, and the suffering was only going to get worse. So he is preparing them for this. And he says to them then in verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray you would apply it to our lives, write it upon our hearts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Peter has essentially described the gospel, that we're born again to a hope that lasts forever through the resurrection of Jesus. And that God will hold us close even through the sufferings in this life. He will hold us and prepare us. He's preparing a place for us even now. He's going to hold us and guard us safely until Jesus returns. And if we die first, or until Jesus returns, preparing for us our eternal reward. And he says that, you know, Peter had seen Jesus. He had walked with him. He had talked with him. But these folks and us, we haven't seen him. And so he says, even though you've not seen him, I know you believe in him. And you rejoice. And then he says, you rejoice that you've obtained the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then in discussing this salvation, it's sort of like he goes back in time a little bit, thinking about the entire scripture and God's revealing of himself, beginning with Moses, who composed the first five books of the Bible, and then the narratives and the prophets thereafter. And he says to us here as he begins, he says, concerning this salvation, your salvation in Christ, He said the prophets, and this is going in this case from Moses to Malachi, those prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Micah, that they prophesied about the grace. They preached grace, the grace of God that would come in a coming Messiah. And he says, as they preached this and prophesied, they searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time. The Spirit of Christ, again, already working in them, was indicating about Christ's sufferings and glory. In other words, he's just saying, look, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Malachi, they studied the Bible. Even as they were prophesying, not totally even understanding all that they were saying, because God was speaking through them about a person who was to come, the Savior, the Messiah, that they studied diligently. The words used here of, first when it says, they searched. Searching is as if seeking for God. It's the same word used, seeking for God. They were looking. They were looking at the Scripture, seeing what is he saying? What did he mean when he said in Numbers, behold, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. When Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers, you must listen to him. When Jacob was blessing his sons before he died, and Jacob said this interesting word. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Judah is, of course, the family of Christ. Nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him. To him shall be the obedience of the peoples. They studied these scriptures, even as God was revealing to them scripture. And then it says they inquired. That is, that as if they were looking for someone or looking for something. They desired to know about our salvation. These prophets. Later on, we learn that you know, in the book of Hebrews, that all these prophets were looking forward to Christ and looking forward to a city not built by human hands, but the city of God. And many of them were executed, were persecuted, were killed for their faith. Some even sawn in two, stoned, killed for their faith. But they were looking forward to our salvation, even as they were preaching about it. And so we learn about them, the work of Christ, the work of the Spirit of Christ in them. It was Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, working in the prophets of the Old Testament. The point here, just a simple application of all this, is that the Bible is God's Word. Peter is acknowledging the Old Testament to be God's Word, even as he is now writing the New, and that these prophets were talking about Jesus, the one who would suffer for our sins, by whose stripes we would be healed, the one who would die in our place, a suffering servant. It was Christ. It says, verse 11, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and his glories. God worked in the prophets of old, predicting the coming of Jesus. They testified beforehand that Jesus would come. You read this in Isaiah 53 and in Isaiah 50, in other portions of the Old Testament. Actually, going all the way back to Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, he would bruise his head and he would bruise his heel. We see it in the Psalms, as David, under the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote about how Christ would, God would forsake him so that he would not forsake us. How Christ would, his own friends would betray him. All these are there written in the Old Testament for us. They were predicting that Jesus, the suffering servant, would come. And that after his suffering, he would rise again. David's greater son, the one whom they said was coming. So it was the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, in the prophets, preparing us for what was to come. What they were preparing us for was the sufferings and the glory of Christ. And in the book of Luke, the day of the resurrection, on that famous passage, the road to Emmaus, Jesus actually tells these two men as they're walking in Luke 24, 26 and 27, one of those remarkable moments in the New Testament. Jesus meets up, it says in Luke 24, 26 and 27. Well, actually, let me back up. Jesus walks up to these folks and says, "What's going on?" you might say. And they say, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened?" And then they begin talking. And eventually Jesus says to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So Jesus, even that day, of course, they didn't realize it was him until later when he allowed them to see that he was the risen Christ. And so there was this message of Jesus' suffering and his glory that were given to these prophets of old. The sufferings of Christ and his subsequent glories. And so for us today, reading the Old Testament, we now read it from the standpoint of the new covenant in Christ. So our hearts can now be filled with wonder as we read and we see that, yes, this was Jesus. Jesus is the one whom a bruised reed he will not break, and a flickering wick he will not extinguish. He's the one who suffered in our place. And then that we can also rejoice in the glories that we are a part of his kingdom, even now. John Calvin put it like this: "These words teach us that the church of Christ has been so constituted that the cross has been the way to victory, and in Christ, death has been a passing to life. To live is Christ, to die is gain." Jesus would tell us, "Take up your cross and follow me." And so we have the message of the sufferings and glory of Christ. But we also have the wonder of the gospel, a sense of a summary of the gospel in these words. Peter again, and I'm going to go back to verse 10 and then look to verse 12. He says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace," again, the prophets' grace has always been the way of salvation, "the grace that was to be yours." Verse 12, "It was revealed to them," to these prophets. This is interesting. Listen to these words. "That they were serving not themselves, but you." That is Peter's first readers, and by extension, us, those reading it now. "That the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, they were serving not themselves, but you. In these things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." Well, what are these things? What is this good news? Well, it's actually pretty simple. And the world doesn't get it. It's almost too simple for the world, and in some cases it's also scandalous to the world that it would come this way. But here's that good news. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15. "I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas," that is Peter, and then the 12, then he appeared to more than 500, and then eventually Paul would say he'd appeared to me. That's the good news, that Jesus came. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. He died in our place. He rose again for our justification. And Peter here is saying those prophets of old, this is what they were prophesying that would come to pass. And he says, they really wanted, they wanted to meet Jesus personally, but God didn't see fit for them to do that. They were the ones that went before, servants for our sake. Even as they served God and in many cases died for him, they were ministering those things, not to themselves, but to us, that we could have hope, hope in Christ. The prophets, they would have gladly lived and known Christ. In fact, I included you can look back and see on the back of your bulletin is a quote from Martin Luther concerning this. He said, they longed in their hearts for the grace and salvation promised in Christ, but is now offered to us, ministered to us and to the whole world through the gospel, which we confidently wait for in hope and patience. Peter is saying here, again, catch the words. These things have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel, the good news to you. He's saying to all these saints, all the saints out in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Demopolis, Galleon, Utah, Tuscaloosa, Northport, Linden, this gospel, when those have preached to you the good news, and when they've told you about Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit working through the prophets bringing you the good news. It was for you. Those prophets were just talking about and proclaiming and prophesying about something to come that was going to be for us. They preached the good news to us. Those that preach the good news to you, that share with you the gospel, those are messengers from God giving you opportunity to trust in Jesus. How did we come to know of Christ and His grace? Through those who have preached Christ to us. And so as I move toward a close here, and as we prepare to come to the table, just remember, it is through the preaching of Christ, it's through the preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, the studying of the Word, that we meet Jesus. God reveals Himself. This is His written revelation given through the prophets and the apostles to us. We meet Christ. And I want to close with this last phrase, and I want to talk about it just a few moments before we come to the table. It's just funny. It's almost like it's sort of like this little phrase at the end. Things into which angels long to look. Then he just goes on in the next verse, giving us things that we ought to be doing. But these are things into which angels long to look. Y'all know angels are the ministering servants of God. Now, originally in the creation, a group of angels sinned and they were cast out of heaven. But these are God's angels. They're not tempted as we are. They're spirit beings. They just serve God. And it says they long to look into this salvation. You might say that they look at one another and they say, He did all this for them? And they ponder it together. God, our Creator, the second person of the Trinity, Christ, came to earth to save these folks. And when they see it happen, they wonder at it. They marvel at it. They're marveling at this salvation. What is it that these angels are marveling at? Here's what they're marveling at. That we are rescued from the power of the devil. That we are freed from sin and death through Christ. That we become partakers of all that Christ has won for us. All His inheritance of eternity. He's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. These angels wonder and ponder at the fact that the God in heaven delivered up His own Son for us and for our salvation. And so, friend, if you're in Christ, He establishes you in believing. We can't see Him, but we believe. If you're in Christ, He directs you in your doing. We're going to start reading about that next time. what He would have us do. And in Christ, you're comforted in your suffering. There's comfort in our suffering in Christ. No, Christ, whom we don't see, knowing that our faith would need help to be strengthened, He gives us a table. We've already had the first of the two sacraments or ordinances, baptism, by which you are received into Christ's fellowship, into His community. But having been received into His community, we need strength to walk in faith throughout our days. And so He took the Passover and He instituted the Lord's Supper through that, giving us this meal where we taste bread and we drink from the cup. And even as we taste this, God's Spirit works in us to strengthen our faith. And so when we come to this table, we're looking to Jesus. We're going to mention in a minute that we will proclaim His death until He comes. In his teaching on 1 Peter, Sinclair Ferguson notes some verses from a hymn he learned as a boy. I close the sermon with this before we come to the table. When the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon Him. Jesus is a faithful friend. He will keep you to the end. One in whom you can depend. Fix your eyes upon Him. The Apostle Paul, as Christ was ministering to him, Paul tells us, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Well, as we come to this table, God gives us this table to strengthen us. To strengthen us against sin, to support us under whatever troubles we may be in right now, to encourage us to do the things we ought to do for the Lord with good attitudes and with a joyful heart, to inspire us with love, to increase our faith, to give us peace of conscience, and to remind us of the hope of eternal life. This is the Lord's table, so all that are here today who have trusted Jesus alone for salvation have been received to the table, either through a local session or a local group of elders, or through a congregation. You've made your profession of faith and have been received. Then it's for you. If this is not the case with you, or if you are remaining in a sin from which you refuse to repent, then let the elements pass you by. There's no shame in that. There's no embarrassment in that. Just let the elements pass you by and just be prayerful. But for those who have trusted Jesus, or for those who perhaps are finally willing to say, Lord, I confess and I repent, and Lord, I pray you allow me to walk in newness of life, then you may come to the table. Let me pray, and then we will sing. Our Father in heaven, we pray now that you would take these ordinary elements of bread and the cup, that you would set it apart for your holy and divine purposes of strengthening your people. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, O Father, for calling us and drawing us to yourself. And we now commit these elements to you and pray you would strengthen us through this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.